Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University.
lives again, a glorious King. Alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting. Alleluia. Dying once, he all doth save. Alleluia. Where thy victory, O grave. Alleluia. Love's redeeming work is done. Alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won. Alleluia. Death in vain forbids him rise. Alleluia. Christ has opened paradise. Alleluia. So be now where Christ has led. Alleluia. Falling our exalted head. Alleluia. Made like him we rise. Alleluia. As the cross, the grave, the skies. Alleluia. Sing me to the God above. Alleluia. Praise eternal as his love. Alleluia. Praise him, all ye heavenly host. Alleluia. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Friends, on this Easter morning, it may be hard to step out of the shadows of these times, to try to embrace the light that is being cast upon us. We have spent so much time searching, hoping, and longing for things to change this year. And in the longing and the hoping and the searching, we forgot so many people. We ignored so much pain. We turned away from grief and loss, afraid it would encompass us. Yet a first step towards the light and new life that Christ promises us is to admit our dependence upon God and the need for God's grace to move forward. So let us articulate our pandemic fears and pain that have tried to wipe away resurrection hope, as we pray together, saying, Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to Thee, confessing our faults, confiding in Thy grace, and finding in Thee our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, if there ever was a time to set out in the light and to open our hearts and lives to be changed by the good news, this is it. This morning, Christ comes to open the gates of hope so that we might walk in the gardens of life. Christ comes to open up the gates of grace so that we might plant peace in the wilderness of the world. Christ comes to open the gates of resurrection so that we might know that there is indeed light after darkness. God begins the work of making all things new on this resurrection morning. Death and devastation, violence and oppression, injustice and discrimination are never the last word. Friends, you are loved and you are forgiven. You are liberated, so go out and love one another in this world. Let the church say, Alleluia and Amen. Let us join our voices to proclaim this good news as we sing the hymn, Come, Ye Faithful, Raise the Strain, hymn number 164, found in your worship bulletin online.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Stephanie Paul Sell, the interim minister of the Memorial Church, and it is my great joy to welcome you to Easter Sunday worship. Whether you are a longtime worshiper in the Memorial Church, an occasional visitor, or are joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here. If you'd like to follow along with the liturgy and the hymns, you can find a bulletin on our website, www.memorialchurch.harvard.edu. We're grateful to all who worked to make this hour of worship possible. Alana Sullivan, our associate minister, and Wes Kahn, our ministry fellow, lead us in worship. Our musicians, Edward Jones, David Von Baron, and the members of the Harvard University Choir lift our prayers on the wings of their music. We remain grateful to First Plymouth Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, where David von Baron records the prelude and postlude each week. We are also grateful to the two members of our student advisory board who read the lessons this morning, Larry Jaw, class of 2023, and a student deacon in the Memorial Church, reads the first lesson, and Lily Gulledge, class of 2021, reads the Easter Gospel. Of course, this service would not be possible without the hard work of Jesus Romoyamas and Jeffrey Blackwell, who weave it together each week, and to our friends at WHRB who broadcast it. This morning's choral selections come from the Harvard University Choir's 2014 CD, Spring Bursts Today, A Celebration of Eastertide. Among the distinguished composers of the anthems are two graduates of Harvard College. Daniel Pinkham, class of 1943, composed Alleluia, Now is the Hour of Darkness Past, and Easter Day was composed by Carson Kuhman, class of 2004, and our composer in residence. You can read more in the online bulletin about today's music and also about our ongoing programs. The Sunday School for Children and the Faith and Life Forum for Adults meet each Sunday morning before worship. Mem Cafe, our Wednesday morning fellowship group, meets at 9:30 a.m., and our Instagram Live series on practices of hope continues every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Our reading group will meet next on Wednesday, April 14th, and we continue to reach out through our daily newsletter with music, meditations by students, faculty, and clergy, prayers, and spiritual practices you can experiment with in your own lives. Next week, our daily newsletter will be on hiatus Monday through Friday, but we will return to your inbox next Saturday. As I mentioned last week, members of the university administration have announced that we should begin preparing for a full campus in the fall. This is momentous news for everyone at Harvard, and although it remains to be seen what it will look like in its details, it's certainly hopeful news. We don't yet know what this will mean for our eventual return to worship in the sanctuary, but we'll certainly keep you posted as plans take shape. At the moment, COVID cases continue to rise in Massachusetts, so even though there are some signs of change on the horizon, we must all continue to mask, to distance, to wash our hands frequently, and to get vaccinated when we get the chance. We all look forward so very much to the day when we are together again, worshiping in our beautiful sanctuary. If we were together in the sanctuary, this would be the moment when we would reach out to one another to share a sign of peace. Even though we are still worshiping separately from one another, let's reach out to one another in our hearts, remembering those we miss, those who are ill, and those who are caring for those who are ill. Let's remember all who are grieving, who are lonely, who are afraid. And let's imagine what we can do this week to spread love and hope and care and peace among us and beyond us. May God's peace be with us all. Our offering this morning goes to support the work of the Memorial Church Grants Committee. Through the work of the committee, we are invited to participate in supporting projects that provide clothing, food, and shelter to those who need them, that offer enrichment and care to children, that help to maintain the facilities of local shelters, and many other projects. There is a donate button on our homepage where you may leave your gift, or you can mail your gift to the Memorial Church. Let us, with gladness, present the offerings of our life and labor to God.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 25, beginning at the 6th verse. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-matured wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-matured wines strained and clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Here ends the lesson.
A reading from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16, beginning at the first verse. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man, dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Here ends the lesson.
Let us pray. God of Easter joy, we have come to the tomb, having followed the footsteps of Mary Magdalene and the other women. Like them, we ask, who will roll away the stone for us this day? In our praying, Lord, make your angels to roll back the stone, that we would know the mystery of the empty tomb and its glorious light be made to shine round about us. Risen Christ, upon encountering your empty tomb, terror and amazement seized your beloved disciples, both then and now. Teach us by your mysterious presence to put aside our own ignorance and prejudice of those whose bodies are different from ours in shape, color, and size. In the radiant light of your resurrection, we give thanks that you became like us, dwelling with humankind in flesh and divinity. Let this same light give us a deeper understanding of the diversity of creation and human life. For your people, trans, cisgender, and everyone in between are fearfully and wonderfully made. Lift our hearts with yours, that we would rejoice in the wonder and beauty of your children, and see your likeness in one another. Wounded Christ, your hands, side, and feet revealed the marks of death. Though death has been trampled by the mystery of your resurrection, we must still be led into the promise of life. Make your spirit to surround us, forever calling us to your life-giving love. Hold in your hands those lives cut short by gun violence in Orange County, California, and so many other places. Take our hands and make them to no longer grasp guns. Walk with your beloved children of Asian descent, and remove from us the racism that entombs us. Wrap your arms around the family of George Floyd as they take part in the trial of former police officer Derek Chauvin, and keep in your resurrection light all who have died at the hands of those entrusted to protect and serve. By your Holy Spirit, give us the power and hope of your glory, O Christ, that your promise of abundant life would be revealed in the midst of the scars of death. Glorious Savior, by the glory of your resurrection, you came to your disciples, who were huddled away in fear. Come to us this day and end our fears. The safety and life of your people shakes at the hands of uncertain and violent governments. Be among the people in Myanmar, Afghanistan, and Haiti. Make dreams of peace a reality. We find ourselves again, O God, in another surge of the coronavirus. By your cross, you know our desire for healing and hope and mercy. Grant us these things, Lord, and make them known to us in the places suffering from loss of life, like the ICU and our own homes. Be with us, rescuing and renewing our hearts to know your comfort. Resurrecting Lord, as you went to meet your disciples on that first Easter, we pray that you would abide with us in this unusual Easter. Fill your church with your Holy Spirit, that we would know our oneness no matter where we find ourselves this day. Lend your grace to all who know loneliness, anxiety, and hurt. Still our souls to welcome the peace you bring, the forgiveness you share, and the faith that holds us. And when the truth of your resurrection feels far off, and your salvation appears to be slipping from our hearts, make us to pray your prayer, Lord Christ, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Love thee more dearly. Would you pray with me? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead us. Let them lead us to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then we will go to your altar, O God, our exceeding joy. And we will praise you with the harp, O God, our God. Amen. Every gospel tells the story of the morning of the resurrection a little bit differently, but they all begin by describing what the women were doing. In Matthew, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, as Matthew calls her, go out at dawn to see the tomb where Jesus was laid. In Luke, a group of unnamed women who had traveled with Jesus from Galilee to Jerusalem bring spices to the tomb to tend the body. In the Gospel of John, Mary Magdalene moves through the city in the dark, like the lover in the Song of Songs, to be near her beloved. And in the text that Lily read for us this morning from the Gospel of Mark, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, make their way to Jesus' tomb in the early morning on the first day of the week. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus notices and admires the faith of women. When a woman seeking healing reaches through the crowd of people around him to touch his cloak, he stops and looks around until he finds her. "Daughter," he says, "your faith has made you well." And when a woman weeps over his feet while he sits at dinner and wipes them dry with her hair, he says to her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." That phrase, "your faith has saved you," echoed for me when I thought of these women, disciples of Jesus, intent on caring for him even in death, intent on returning to him the dignity his execution had denied him. Their faithfulness is described by all four gospel writers, a faithfulness grounded in the practices of Judaism. Both Matthew and Mark note in their gospels that the women waited until the Sabbath had ended before they went out to purchase the spices with which to anoint and care for the body of Jesus. In all the years I have heard these texts read aloud on Easter, I don't think I've ever felt the significance of that detail in the way I did this year. These women, who remained present to Jesus as he was tortured and killed, who must themselves have been traumatized to their core, still kept some kind of Sabbath observance from the evening of Jesus' death until the evening of the next day. The ordinary practice of Sabbath keeping, of joining God in rest on the seventh day, must have held them through the terror of those 24 hours. Did they light the candles, say the prayers, break the bread, share the meal? Their faith may very well have saved them, saved their sanity, saved their lives. The other practices of faith that the women attempt to perform in these stories, of course, are the burial rites for the dead. That's what the spices they go out to buy after the Sabbath ends are for. They went to the tomb to bathe Jesus' body, to anoint it, and to wrap it in bands of cloth, like the swaddling clothes Luke says Jesus' mother wrapped him in when he was born. The women navigated these terrible days by faith, by the practices of their faith. After the chaos and violence of Jesus' crucifixion, they still found a way to keep the Sabbath holy. And after the other disciples scattered in fear and Peter denied that he had ever even known Jesus, they ventured out to offer a proper burial to a criminal, an enemy of the empire that dominated and oppressed their community every day. Sophocles wrote a play about a woman who risked everything to bury her brother centuries before these women went out on their potentially dangerous errand. Like Antigone, the women in the gospel refused to leave Jesus unwept, unburied. Like her, they feel beholden not to man-made laws that punish and degrade, but to sacred laws that honor human dignity, and through that honoring, weave us more closely into the life of God. The faithfulness of these women is described in all four gospel accounts of Easter morning, including Mark's account. But in other ways, Mark's gospel is quite different from the other three. There's an empty tomb in Mark's account, just as in the others. There's a rolled-away stone and a mysterious figure who tells the women that Jesus has been raised from death. But Jesus does not appear to them resurrected. There's no earthquake, no lightning flash, no angels. In fact, nothing supernatural happens in Mark's account at all. There's only a story told to the woman by the young man they find in the tomb. Jesus has been raised, he says, and you'll see him again in Galilee. The response of those traumatized women who have been holding onto their faith to guide their actions in the wake of Jesus' death is to run from that empty tomb as fast as they can. For terror and amazement had seized them, Mark says, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And that's the end of Mark's gospel. You'll find in your Bible two later attempts to give the gospel a more triumphant ending, but they're very different in style and tone from the rest of the gospel, and only show up in later manuscripts. In its earliest form, the last word of this gospel, the earliest gospel we have, is afraid. And who wouldn't be afraid? Because if Jesus is alive, then our capacity for transformation is startlingly limitless. As Peter Gomes loved to remind us when he was the minister of this church, we do not have to be as we are. We can be more just, more compassionate, more attentive and responsive to each other's suffering. We don't have to keep doing things as they have been done, filling up prisons as fast as we can build them, turning families and children away from our borders, tolerating state violence against people of color, allowing the brunt of this pandemic to fall on marginalized people and communities, turning away from the rising tide of violence against our Asian neighbors, trying not to see. The message of Easter morning is not only that things do not have to be as they are, but that things must not continue as they are. If Jesus is alive, then we can change. Jesus is alive. We are called to change. A friend of mine wrote me a few days ago and said that Easter really feels like Easter to her this year. I knew immediately what she meant. Last year at Easter, we were barely a month into our lockdown, unsure of what would happen next, unsure of how long this would last, not knowing yet how many precious lives we would lose. This Easter, although we're not at the end of this pandemic, we can see the end coming into view. Here at the university, we're beginning to imagine teaching in classrooms again, returning to offices, seeing our colleagues. We're beginning to imagine all of our students returning. Easter feels like it could be a new beginning this time. We might be standing on the verge of new life. But as the traumatized women who found an empty tomb knew, that emptiness contains both hope and fear. Because if Jesus is alive, then everything can change. And if Jesus is alive, we will have to confront our capacity for change and also examine our desire for it. Do we really want to change? Are we ready to rise to the challenge of resurrection? The Gospel of Mark brings us face to face with these questions, because in its abrupt ending, it asks us to take up the story. Mark doesn't tell us what the women do after they flee the tomb in fear, but because we can hold Mark's Gospel in our hands and read it from beginning to end, we know what they did. They were afraid, but they did eventually tell their story. a story of resurrection, of hope in the midst of trauma, of life in the midst of death. They must have handled that story as tenderly as they had planned to handle the body of Jesus, because a community grew up around that story as it got passed from hand to hand and written down and read aloud and remembered. This is a story about Jesus rising from the dead. But it is also a story about a community rising to the possibilities that the story of resurrection holds. A story about hearing the claim Jesus' resurrection made on them and rising to its challenges. A story about remaking the world in the wake of a terrible loss. The passage from Isaiah that Larry read for us this morning is one that I imagine Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had grown up hearing read aloud. The story that grew out of what they found when they went looking for the body of Jesus seems deeply informed by Isaiah's vision of a God who will swallow up death forever and replace disgrace with dignity and wipe away the tears from all faces. As we stand with those women at the open, empty tomb, may we feel our desire for resurrection and its transformations rising within us. And may we be brave enough to take up the story where those brave women left off, brave enough to resist going back to the way things were and to seeking together the way things could be. Amen.
Let us sing together our closing hymn, Now the Green Blade Riseth, hymn number 180, found at the end of your online worship bulletin.
Now the green blade riseth from the buried grain, wheat that in the dark earth many days has lain. Love lives again that with the dead has been. Love is come again like wheat that springeth green. In the grave they laid him, love whom hate had slain, thinking that he never would awake again. Laid in the earth like grain that sleeps unseen, love is come again like wheat that springeth green. Forth he came at Easter like the risen grain, Jesus, who for 3 days in a grave had lain, quick from the dead, my risen Lord is seen. Love is come again, like wheat that springeth green. When our hearts are wintry, grieving or in pain, Jesus' touch can call us back to
And now, may the love of God unite us, the hope of the risen Christ transform us. May the movement of the Holy Spirit enliven our senses and lead us into life. Amen. Thank you.
This has been Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University. Please join us again next week at 11 a.m. on WHRB 95.3 FM.